Kenny Rota here with you. We've got a very special guest today joining us on the Rota Report. It would be Dan Shanka, our good buddy from the RLAD Scouting Service, who I've been with now for 16 years covering the Super Bowl for Cleveland Browns fans, which is the NFL draft. And my Bible arrived in the mail the other day. Dan Shanka, A, thanks for the Bible, and B, thanks for joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing great, Kenny. It's great to be with you. I always enjoy visiting with you and the great fans in Cleveland. So, hey, let's hit it and get it.
Yeah, let's get right to it, Dan. And we'll start with the quarterback class. It's the most important position in all of sports. The Browns still need a franchise quarterback. My first question to you is, how does this quarterback class rank overall compared to recent years?
Kenny, I think that there's what this class is going to provide is developmental guys that are going to probably start out as backup quarterbacks, and then I think have a chance to develop maybe two or three years down the road. I mean, you know, there's no franchise guys in this group. That term is used way too much, I think, you know, the Andrew Lux of the world, the Peyton Mannings of the world, those guys are franchise quarterbacks, and they just don't come along very often. But, you know, you got to draft one of these guys and develop them, and as long as he fits within your system, and your system has got to be there in place, you know, more than a year or two. And so anyway, this group, it's an interesting group because you look at all these quarterbacks, and really, the only guy that's played against the great competition in the top five is Johnny Manziel. But there's some good developmental guys like Jimmy Garoppolo here. So that's kind of what we're looking at.
How does it compare to last year's quarterbacks who were taken? You had E.J. Manuel in the first round, Geno Smith in the second round, Mike Glennon in the third round. Is this class better than last year's quarterback class?
Yeah, I think as a group, it is. Of course, as you know, we liked Geno Smith, and Geno won 8 games last year and didn't have much around him. But that's the thing. I mean, it doesn't matter if you what kind of quarterback you draft. If you don't nurture them and help them out along the way with receivers and a defense and some blocking and, you know, they're not going to succeed. And so you kind of got to get a lot of the pieces in place if you can. And, hey, get receivers that can catch the ball, not drop them. And because, believe me, the quarterback gets blamed for drops, you know, even though cause it shows up on his stat. And then people think, hey, that guy can't play, so let's get rid of the quarterback. So, anyway, I think that it's better than last year's group.
We're talking with Dan Shanka from the RLAD Scouting Service. Check him out at rlads.com. Dan, will teams be more weary or cautious of drafting a QB too high in this draft because of the failures of like a Jake Locker, a Blaine Gabbert, a Christian Ponder, who went higher than they should have back in 2011?
Yeah, I think so. I tell you, I mean, there's going to be a lot of general managers losing sleep because you're looking at a two-edged sword here. One, if you pass on a good quarterback, and two, what if you take one that can't play? So,
right.
I mean, you know, it's going to be it's a tough decision for these guys, and you do your due diligence. You do everything you can possibly do. You check their competition. You check how long they played. Are they 4-year starters? Are they 2-year starters? You know, you can go right on down the line. Their physical, their durability, everything. And then hey, you put your best foot forward and you got to go with it. And then I'll tell you what, 50% of the time, you're going to get that door slammed in your face.
Who's the top-rated quarterback on the RLADS board? Who do you have ranked number one amongst these quarterbacks that we're going to talk about here?
We got Johnny Manziel ranked first, we've got him up there because he played against the best competition, Kenny. That SEC is you know, kind of a micro field of what you see in the NFL. And with the speed and everything you can't mimic it till you get on an NFL field, but that's about as close as you can get. And then I'll tell you, the Pac-10 was really tough this year, Pac-12 was really tough this year, the SEC is, they got speed, you know, you got the speed on the outside, you got good corners, So we put Johnny Manziel up there because he was the best player on any SEC field that he stepped on. Okay, now he was the best player. He was productive for 2 years. He made things happen. He was only quarterback, and I've known Nick Saban since his Toledo days, at the Glass Bowl and things, and he's the only quarterback that made Nick sweat. So on that alone, we put him up there at number one.
Okay, if you're a team who loves Johnny Manziel, Dan, give me a reason why. And if you're a team that's weary of taking him, give me a reason why you don't take him.
Okay, I would draft him for Cleveland at 26, but I would not take him at 4. You just can't do it with this group of quarterbacks. I think because of durability reasons, he's a narrow-shouldered guy. He is not a big man. He's 5'11". The only place he's big is when he gets on that field with the ball in his hand. But, hey, he's going to have guys chasing him that run faster than he is, that he did in college and things. And just bigger, faster, stronger wins a lot of times. And but Johnny's a very creative guy that can make some plays. So we would draft him. In fact, that's where we got him, Kenny. We only got one quarterback going in the first round, and that's at 26. And we got Manziel going to Cleveland.
Wow, at 26. Now, let me throw you this. I just was online before we started this interview. They have over-unders, okay, Dan, on where guys are going to be picked. The over-under number on Johnny Manziel is 5.5. So they feel that he's going to go in the top 10 according to Vegas. You think that's too high then based on what you're telling me right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's too high. It's just the thing is the durability. He's got okay arm strength. He has some really good positive attributes. But the bottom line is we can't go crazy. This guy's not Russell Wilson. I mean, they're different guys. And now you look at everybody was willing to give Russell Wilson a third round grade, and we had him really going in the second when we graded Russell and said, hey, if he was 2 inches taller, he'd be a top 4 pick. And that year, all those quarterbacks came out. So, no, I think that, top 10 is too high for Manziel.
All right, what about Blake Bortles? This is the guy that I like the most out of this quarterback class, Dan. And I like it because of his size, because this is a kid that came from nowhere. Nobody really recruited him. And he's put himself in the running, if you talk to some people, for the number one overall pick in this draft, and arguably has the most potential of all of these quarterbacks with his size and what he might be able to do. Where do you guys have Blake Bortles ranked?
We got him second right after Manziel, and I would agree with you, on everything you just said, because he's a big guy, he's a strong guy. His arm strength, as you know, Kenny, we always put that in from the combine, and he threw it 56 miles an hour, which was in the upper part of the quarterbacks that threw at the combine. And, he's a developmental guy. I mean, even his coach admitted, George O'Leary, he said that this is about a month or 6 weeks ago. He goes, yeah, he says Blake's going to be really a good NFL quarterback in 3 years. And then he realized, well, hey, my quarterback may be going first pick in this draft. I better backpedal a little bit and say that, hey, he's going to develop a little quicker than that. But I think that I really think Bill O'Brien would love to have him at Houston, but they just can't take him at one.
Yeah, so, I agree with you, because I go back, if you remember in the game that Blake played head-to-head against Bill O'Brien in Penn State, he went into Happy Valley and beat Penn State 34-31 and put up some huge numbers against Penn State in that win. So Bill got to see that firsthand. It's got to be tough for Bill maybe to pass on him at number one, because I don't think he'll be there come the second round when they're picking.
Well, I mean, theoretically, you'd say no. But, hey, this may be like running backs. Running backs are getting taken a little bit later, and the reason for that is the passing game. Now, everybody knows you got to have a quarterback, but, you just can't go out and say we need a quarterback and we're going to, take one. And sometimes you're better off you got to believe in your coordinator and your quarterback coach to see if they can get a guy that maybe has a lot of tools but just needs to be refined, like a Zach Mettenberger, for instance. But anyway, going back to Blake Bortles, now here's the reason that we put Johnny Manziel ahead of Bortles, is Bortles' schedule, you know, Penn State isn't, you know, the Penn State we all know and everything right now. They're down a little bit, but, you know, hey, they went in there and beat them. Bortles didn't make the schedule. And then they go and they beat Louisville, and that's great because, you know, then he went out and then they beat, they beat Baylor out in the Fiesta Bowl, and those were all good wins, did a nice job. But the other teams they played were basically awful. I mean, six of the teams they played combined records. This goes for Bridgewater, too. Six of those teams they played had a combined 13 wins, and four of the other teams they played and the Jeff Sandgren ratings had below 100 ratings. So you're playing Sisters of the Poor in 10 of those games. You know, they didn't see big-time corners, and that bothers me because I tell you, big-time corners will break on the ball, and they're going to give you problems. You got bigger linebackers with better competition, and everything's just better, and they didn't really see it.
So, Bortles, you don't have them going in the first round. Now, I'm guessing you guys have them going in the second round then, correct?
First pick of the second round.
What about Teddy Bridgewater? You mentioned Louisville, and Teddy Bridgewater, I think at the beginning of last year, a lot of people felt he'd be in the running for maybe the first overall pick, for sure a top 10 pick, but his pro day seems to really have hurt his status, as well as a number of things. Give me your thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater.
You're right, Kenny. I think a combination of everything hurt him. When people start looking at that ectomorphic type build, I mean, he's a very slender guy, and I weighed 214 at the combine, but he had, I think, rolls of quarters and half dollars in his pockets because, you know, he ended up, you know, then at his pro day, he was down in, you know, 200 again, you know, and in most of the year, he played at 196. He has a hard time keeping weight on, which is, you know, not a good thing in the NFL because you play 16 games and your body gets worn down. But anyway, he's a slender guy that he didn't work out the combine, which that's fine. You don't have to do certain things, but you know what? I don't know who he's listened to or who his circle of friends are, but bad advice. You know, I think that, and then he has a disaster for a pro day. I mean, I want to tell you something. I've never seen a bad quarterback pro day. I mean, in 20 years of doing this, I've been to almost every quarterback's pro day. I didn't go to Bridgewater's, but my understanding, when those guys that were there observing and they said it was mediocre, that means it's a disaster, you know. So, you set the whole thing up. You throw to these guys, and he had experienced receivers he was throwing to, didn't throw without his glove. You know, he always put the glove on and didn't throw with his glove because, you know, his hand's not huge. He had a hard time gripping the ball, and that's not a good thing, especially for a city like Cleveland with the weather and everything. I mean, he probably wouldn't be considered, if he's considered in Cleveland, but he's a warm weather kid that I think it's going to be tough to play, up along the lake there. But anyway, he's got some talent, throwing the ball accurately, short and medium. But the thing is now, Kenny, see, he throws to a spot, and those receivers have got to get to that spot. It's not like, some routes where the receiver's running and you're timing it up. Throwing. Hey, he's throwing to a spot, and if that receiver isn't there, it's a whole different ballgame. So, you know, I think that, but he's got talent, but I see him more as a backup guy. And I know I just see him as a down-the-road kind of player because, I don't think he's going to hold up physically. And then the other thing is I think that when he's going to get, you know, big time. See, another thing here, going back to the Florida game when he was in the Sugar Bowl and everybody said, oh, wow, he had a great game. And he did have a great game. And he took that big hit and he got back up and started, you know, ticking again. But the corners, as we find out this year, the corners last year that, you know, were out there, everybody said, oh, Florida's got these great corners. They can't run. They ran in the 4.6s at the combine, and so it really wasn't a big deal. If you don't have some guys that can, you know, run with your receivers out there, they're running wide open, and so that was the other thing. So after all this investigation of Bridgewater, I think that's why he starts sliding down the elevator shaft.
All right, so where do you guys have him projected as going in the draft this year, Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah, pick 39. We got him, you know, going into Jacksonville at 39.
All right, let's talk quickly about some of the other guys after those top three. Derek Carr, you mentioned Garoppolo, Mettenberger. I haven't heard you talk about A.J. McCarron. Just give me a quick summary, if you will, of those guys, and are any of those guys potentially better than the three we've already talked about?
Well, you know, Derek Carr, people get excited about him because he looks pretty in shorts. When he played against and he didn't play against great competition, and 2 years in bowl games, he played SMU. I'll tell you, SMU, Marcus Hunt, who went to Cincinnati in the second round, every time he got close to Derek Carr hit the dirt. I mean, he was like jumping in a foxhole when Hunt came by. Now, Hunt's not an all-time, all-world, all-infinity guy. You know, I mean, he's a good football player that, you know, they hope to develop. But Carr was going down like for the count, you know what I mean? And that's not a good thing. And the same thing this year at Southern Cal. Did not do, you know, he did not like those pitter-patter of feet close to him. But if you want him in shorts, he's pretty. Now, he can throw all the throws. He can do all that stuff and da-da-da, you know what I mean? He can do it all. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo, I think all ahead of Jimmy. The thing that you love about him, that lightning quick release, he gets that ball out quickly, threw a lot of the horizontal routes, not too many vertical routes, but he did well at the combine throwing the vertical and in his workouts, looking real good there. I think that he's definitely an ascending guy. Zach Mettenberger, my hat's off to him. Had the ACL. He went out and worked out the other day, last week, and we got his verified numbers there, and had a good workout, and I think he's another guy that down the road, you know, in a couple years, he's going to be a pretty darn good quarterback. A.J. McCarron, same way. You know, McCarron, will he be a Super Bowl-winning quarterback? Hey, Trent Dilfer did it, so, hey, who knows? But McCarron's a real solid guy, played behind maybe the best offensive line in college football 2 years ago, and just real solid. He's not sexy, but he's just real solid and gets stuff done, but does not have great arm strength, okay? They say he can throw all throws well. Not really. He's more of a timing guy where he can get that ball off and that receiver's, you know, down the field about 12 yards, and he cuts it loose and that receiver can go under it. But those guys, and a guy, I tell you what, we like, Kenny, that is Taj Boyd, who he gets beat up quite a bit for whatever, for a guy that holds 50 conference records and school records and all that stuff. You know, you never know when the ball bounces a certain way, like in the Florida State game, if his tight end didn't drop a pass early that went right in there. I mean, you don't know what can happen. And so one thing led to another, but he's probably going to be a fourth round pick. And I think he's a guy that could develop and really be a good quarterback.
So how many quarterbacks, Dan Shanka, do you think will go in this draft, regardless of what round? Are we looking at 8, 10, 15? What's the class look like?
Well, the average number, Kenny, is 12. Okay. That's how many go, okay? That's your average year. You get last year, I think 11 went, and, you know, normally you got 12 to 13. So, you know, we're talking about Manziel, Bortles, Bridgewater, Carr, Garoppolo, Mettenberger, McCarron, Aaron Murray, Taj Boyd, Logan Thomas, and then Keith Wenning from Ball State may be in there late, David Fales late, Jeff Matthews late, Keith Price late, Tom Savage, who a lot of people are jumping up and down because of his arm strength right now, and he's probably going to get overdrafted.
He's the kid from Pitt, right?
Yep. And everybody's, you know, it's kind of funny, these guys that come up late, you know, and everybody says, ooh, yeah, he can, you know, I'll tell you what, all I remember is Clemens from Oregon, and everybody put him in the second round and all that, and we had him in the sixth round, and he's been a backup quarterback for his whole career. So, you know, Kenny, I think that, you know, you're talking about anywhere from 15 to 16 quarterbacks that as long as people understand, some of these guys are developmental guys, you know, they'll have a pretty good crop.
I threw this out on Twitter. I wanted some people to fire away at some questions for you. Jay Goodman from Absolute Zero has this question for you. Where do you think this year's QB class will rank all time? Does it have a chance to be a big-time class?
No. No, it's not going to be a class of 83 or, you know, the that type of group. So, no. I think it's going to be an above-average class where you're going to have a lot of backup quarterbacks and few starters come out of it.
All right. Rich Ranella from All Pro Sports Cards hit us up and says, how far do the Browns trade down from 4 if they want to get another second-round pick? So they're picking at 4 right now. If they want to pick up another second-round pick, how many spots do they have to drop down in the first round, do you think, Dan, to pick up an extra second-round pick?
Well, I think, first of all, it depends on how bad the team wants it, but generally you can get by somewhere between 4 and 6, you know, to get another pick.
Okay, and this comes in from R. Magic, and he says, as usual, the Browns are in an awkward draft position for their needs and players available. What's the likelihood of the Browns trading down?
Well, you don't want to lose one of the top players out there. I mean, there's going to be really a good player at 4 for him, and I know that, you know, tackle is not a sexy position, but you know what? To me, you take a tackle there at 4. Say for instance, Sammy Watkins is gone to Jacksonville. Clowney goes 1 to Houston, and then let's say Jake Matthews goes to St. Louis at 2. There's no trades or anything. 3, Watkins, hey, they need the receivers as bad as they need pass rushers at Jacksonville. They're going to take Watkins at 3. He's not getting by 3. Okay, now Cleveland's sitting at 4. And now you got you got 2 big time tackles sitting right there, staring at you. You got a pass rusher like Barr. You got some other, players, but obviously last year's pick, Mingo, he's supposed to be something this next year. Well, we'll see. But I'd take an offensive tackle. I'd kick Schwartz inside the guard, and now you got bookend tackles. Now we like Taylor Lewan because he's a better pass protector than Robinson. You know, and head-to-head athletic ability, Taylor Lewan was a better athlete. And I know he went to Michigan, and that's why all the people in Ohio hate him, but he's still a good player, okay? And he could play left tackle, and then when Joe Thomas is done, he can move over to left. So you got 2 big-time tackles. You got your, Mack is back. You got Schwartz at side guard. You know, you got another battle of competition now at right guard. So, you've got your line set, okay? Now you can go ahead, and if you want at 26, grab one of these quarterbacks, something like that, that's there, go ahead. But I would take, you don't want to lose a big-time player by messing around and trading down. Because Cleveland's got enough picks, okay? They've got enough picks right now. They just got to make the right picks.
So you're telling me if all three, if Manziel, Bortles, and Bridgewater are there at pick number 4 for the Browns, they should pass on all three of those guys and take whichever offensive lineman's available, Taylor Lewan or Greg Robinson, correct? Am I understanding
right?
Right,
exactly. That's exactly what I said, Kenny.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that, and my listeners can understand that as well. So you guys aren't taking one of those quarterbacks high at all. In fact, you don't have a quarterback going till number 26 in your mock draft, and that's Johnny Manziel to the Browns. I think Browns, hey, the Browns fans, Dan, if that holds true, if they get the O lineman and Johnny Manziel in the first round at 26, Manziel, I think Cleveland, they'll treat it like they won the Super Bowl if indeed that happens. And you guys would look like geniuses, Dan.
Well, I tell you what, I hope that happens because it could. I mean, there's so many things, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of trading because this is such a deep draft. You don't want to get rid of your picks. Cleveland's got, 10 picks, and they want to use every one of those to build depth on that team. And guys compete for starting jobs.
When you look at what's happened in the past, though, Dan, and I respect you guys, like I said, my Bible came and you guys break it down better than anybody. And I respect what you're saying about the quarterbacks, and I think a lot of people feel that way, but you know it, I know it. It only takes one. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. It only takes one team to overdraft somebody, to take somebody too high because of the buzz and the it factor and all of that. Do you really think Manziel lasts till 26?
You know what? Russell Wilson had a an outstanding career and is the all-time efficiency, pass efficiency leader, and he lasted to the third round. And I know, you know, Johnny brings – now, here's the other thing. Like you said, some people need a franchise energizer, and he's an energizer bunny, okay? There's no question about it. I mean, so, you know, is Jacksonville going to pull the trigger there? Should Cleveland pull the trigger there? But then, you know what's going to happen? They're going to have a lynching party here in a year if he isn't, you know. So, you know, it's you know, take your choice. You take your, you know, get a great player that you know it's going to be, you know, probably a Pro Bowl player at four, okay?
Right.
Or are you going to roll the dice and say, well, we need that quarterback at four, and, you know, and we're going to take him, and then, you know, you go back, hey, there's been a lot of quarterbacks through Cleveland since 99.
And no risk, no reward, some people say, and they're helping the Browns roll the dice and get Johnny Football here. Real quick, Dan Shanka, where can people, they still have time because we're about 2 weeks away from the draft, where can people go to get all this information or order one of those Bibles that I call them, the official Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft 2014?
They can give us a phone call, Kenny, at 1-800-PRO-DRAFT. Or order online at ourlads.com, and then what we'll do, you know, they can put on there, if they want a priority mail, put that on there on the bottom of their order, and then we'll get it out there on that, it's 2 or 3 day mail, you know, get it to them. So, yeah, there's still plenty of time to get the draft guide.
It's great stuff, and to wrap this up, Dan Shanka, I just did the Roto ratings, my top 32 players. I'll tell you how I had my first five, and you can comment on if I'm close to you guys. I had Clowney as my number one guy, Matthews number two, Watkins three. I have Robinson four, and I like Mike Evans, the wide receiver out of Texas A&M, slightly ahead of Khalil Mack there at number five. How'd I do compared to you guys?
No, I think good. We got the first three right, and I understand why you like Robinson. Okay, I mean he's a big, strong guy. Hey. 3 or 4 years down the road, he may be better than Taylor, but right now, I mean, Taylor's got 2 years of big-time football, you know, more than Robinson does, and Robinson is not a good pass protector. So, I mean, he's got a long ways to go in pass pro. Evans, big-time receiver, have no problem there. I mean, that's Vince Jackson Jr., and, yeah, I mean, hey, they could use a lot of things at Oakland, and the big receiver is one of them.
We always appreciate the time and the insight, Dan Shanka. You guys, again, about done yourself with the Draft Bible. Thanks so much for joining us. And let's talk again, maybe right before the draft or just after the draft to take a look at how things are going, all right?
You bet, Kenny. Anytime. Thanks a million for having me.
All right. There he is, Dan Shanka from the Our Lads Scouting Service. Check him out each and every day at ourlads.com. And that's another edition of the Roto Report. Hope you enjoyed it. And as always, Seatown, keep it real.